Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Shift. Hope you're all having a lovely week. Obviously, New York was absolutely mental this weekend. Everybody was out celebrating, so it was amazing. And we actually recorded this episode on Thursday, and the two lads I've on, I absolutely love, so I was so excited to get them together. It's Garrett Reynolds. He's an amazing American comedian, and he has a great podcast called The Dollop. And Shane Daniel Byrne. You might know him from his videos just went viral recently. He's an Irish comedian, but he's so funny and such a sweetheart. So I was really happy now to have the two with them on. And we just had a great laugh. We actually started talking about dating etiquette, like the differences between America and like Europe, UK, Ireland. And then Shane comes in a little bit later because his computer wasn't working. So that's why he comes in a little bit later. So just so you guys know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we also talked about foreskin, losing your virginity and sex education. So have a listen to the episode and I'll talk to you at the end.
Will you go into the UK? If you end up going to the UK, that kind of fits in what I was talking about, like with the two different culture. I wanted to talk about like the two dating cultures here, like between Europe or America.
I've like gone out with girls in England and it's fucking vastly different.
Right. Okay, good. This is great. What were the major differences you saw?
I think that in England, at least, like, everything started sooner. Like everything, like sexual stuff start, like dating, hooking up, everything started probably 2 or 3 years earlier. And then I think that also results in like, when I'll go there now, cause I'm older now. So when I go there now, like I'll go see my cousin and stuff and she'll introduce me to some of her friends. And no matter how old they are, 30, 25, they're married with 3 kids. Like everyone in her circle is married early, potentially single by their 30, but everyone starts marriage and kids so fucking early. And I'm just like, it's always I feel like Americans are not in that rush to get married that immediately. I think in England, at least, it's like I couldn't believe it, like how much I would hook up with girls when I was like 13 or 14. I was like, this is crazy. Like girls wanting to have sex at like, I'm wanting to have sex so much sooner. It was just totally different, totally culturally different.
That's so true, because my American friends, they're always like, oh, Kitty's so innocent, like, because I just have this voice or whatever. And then if we get to like when you lost your virginity, I'm like, I'm a whore.
Like, yeah.
They're like, oh, I was 21. I'm like, I was 15, 21. What were you doing?
I was 15 and like, it was like, people were genuinely like, mate, it'll happen. Just have faith in yourself. I was like, no, I'm not trying to have sex at 12. Like that is crazy to me. Like, yeah, but they would be like, yeah, they would be like, you know, and I mean, I, you know, the first girl that I had sex with was, I was 15. She was 14. She was pushing for it since she was like 13 and I was 14. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, even when I was 15, I was like, I mean, I'm going to do it because it feels like I'm crazy to not do it, but I could take another year and just figure it out.
I think there's more emphasis on losing your virginity over here. I feel like,
yeah, I think that's probably what it is. I think that's really true. I mean, sexuality in this country is, you know, at least partially, when I was growing up, there was an element of shame and sexuality. Like we were kind of coming out of it. I think like people were starting to go, okay, you know, it's not bad to masturbate or it's not bad to like have these feelings. But I think the generation prior to mine, yeah, like there's you know, I mean, that's why you have, like, that's why you would, you know, you would get such high pregnancy rates, because people would be like, the only option is abstinence. So when they would actually break abstinence and fuck, they wouldn't be safe about it, because they would have no clue, because it'd be like, you know, you're doing something wrong. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, I mean, it still is like that culturally in this country, where there's a totally a double standard between men having sex and women having sex, you know, like there's, it's less and less, but it was very much when I was growing up that, yeah, girl, you know, if a girl hooked up with a few guys, that was crazy. If a guy hooked up with a few girls, that was awesome.
Yeah. And look, that's the same in Ireland. That's the same everywhere. I do think when we talk about America, New York is different, because here, or like the cities is different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And more celebrated. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of like, it's funny, because even when you're saying like about the abstinence or like the shame, because like Ireland would have a lot of shame as well, but I never think of America. I guess like it's so similar, actually. Just it's like countryside versus city, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's religion based. I mean, like there where I grew up is like totally a lot of people, you know, are very hooked on religion. I was never, so I like literally never had any indoctrination with religion or thought.
Oh, sorry, Shane, we were just saying that about Garrett was talking about having sex in England, it was, right?
Yeah.
And how we have sex much younger than Americans, our first time, and that losing your virginity, I feel like, wasn't as big of a deal. I feel like it wasn't like a whole like pedals down and like this is a big deal. It was just kind of like, come on, let's get it over with.
I think it depends. Probably city, rural, I'd say is different. That urban and rural is different. But yeah, I mean, everyone just does it eventually. I don't think there's a big fuss. No, it doesn't seem like that big a hoo-ha. The first kiss is famous for going off, because in Ireland they have this bizarre tradition. They have these little pockets of the country that still speak in the Irish language. And all the kids get sent off to these places. It's called the Gaeltacht. And they all, basically, you learn some Irish, but the whole main point of it is that everyone has to kiss. That's basically the whole trip is all about. So there's those things that are big, giant rites of passage.
Is it like a make-out or like a peck?
No,
I'm making. Oh, yeah, full-on.
Hickeys.
Full-on. Yeah, yeah. Hickeys. Oh, yeah, hickeys. I didn't go to the Gaeltacht. Oh, I went on scout camp instead. And two, I was... Two, I was gay, so it wasn't very trendy to be a 13-year-old gay at the time. Now, they can do whatever they want. Now, the queer kids today have a great time. They're sucking dicks in primary school.
All right, Shane.
Yeah. I actually was veering into material there. I have a whole 20 minutes on that guy alone. But no. Yeah, I don't think there is much of a fuss. No, I don't think so. In American movies that you watch, it seems to be... there's a huge emphasis on it. It's like, it's our time, I'm ready. And there seems to be like after prom and all that kind of thing, but there's no mythology here around it. It's just like,
which is better, because it's better to not build it up as a thing that is supposed to be magic. I mean, you're talking about the first time, like the first time I had sex, I bought a whiskey flavored condom from Pins, Pints and Platters, the pub, and that was it. And like, it was not good, or, you know what I mean? It was like drunk and like weird. It was more like rip the Band-Aid off and just get this shit over with, versus this is the culmination of my adolescence.
And it's so sad, because your first, at least my first 100 times was terrible, do you know? So.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't start orgasming until the podcasters listening know this. But until I was like, late 20s. So. So my first bunch of partners, I was like, this is grand. But then when I did eventually, I was like, wow, never mind. I've been missing out.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah. So, I'd say most people's first time, women anyway, it's shite. Like, you don't know your body. You can't. You're not orgasming. You're just like, that's grand.
Yeah, I would imagine the first time. The first time. Nah. Yeah.
It's better for you guys.
As a guy with a... Well, it's also... I found it weird. I mean, the first girl that I had sex with was not a virgin. The second girl that I had sex with was a virgin. And that there's something about that where you're like, this is like, I mean, for you, this is like, I'm getting it over with. And it's like, that's not the best vibe to be beneath you, you know? Just get the blood out. You're like, please stop saying that.
Oh my God, get the blood out. I can see that's a bit of a turn off, really, isn't it? Knowing that the other person's just like, this isn't important.
Being stabbed. Yeah.
And what about you, Shane? When did you lose your virginity?
Scouts retreat.
What?
That scouts trip you went on when everyone was
Nothing in the scouts. I think maybe like 18, 19, and it was time. Yeah, I don't know. I don't count as like, full. You know, when they have like P and the V, that is the straight people's, this virginity done. So I think it's more gradual. I think if it's two men, it's kind of like you do all the other bits along the way and then you try the big thing and then you could just decide you don't really want to do that all the time because it involves a lot of preparation. So yeah, I think like late teens just trickled into it and yeah, it just happens. But I think it's easier for, they're both men. Men are gross and like don't really care. They're not like prissy about it. They're just like, let's do it. So I think it's kind of like gay men are still men as much as straight men are men. So they're just like, yeah, let's do it. And they know what the other person has. So it's kind of easier. And the male body is way less complicated than a female body. It's just like, these are the bits, the end. See what
especially
they do?
You have it already. So you're like, you've grown familiar with it like over your life.
Whereas, yeah, like, you've been practicing.
You have a vagina, you're like, what the fuck happened down here?
Yeah. I have a gay friend of mine who said he saw a porn magazine when he was like 13 or 12 or something, and of a woman, and it was the first time he'd seen a naked woman like that, and he was like, he thought it was like a wound. He didn't, and he was like, what's happened here? Some kind of horrid surgery has happened.
Someone
to this poor
took
person.
Her dick.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, even we watched porn on the podcast, for the podcast, like me watching porn for the first time, okay? So I watched porn for the first time on the podcast and it was two lesbians. And like, I've obviously seen my vagina, but I haven't really actually seen other vaginas. And whatever way it was flicked up, the girl was rubbing it and I thought she was rubbing her scar. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. She's rubbing her wound. And Des is like, that's her vag, Katie. It was so embarrassing.
Wait.
But it didn't look like my vagina. Wait. It looked so like it just, there was no, I don't know. It was just weird.
But you thought she was just like soothsaying her scar?
Like, being like nice, better. Being like, oh, that's like, I'm like being, I was like, oh, women are so nice. She's like saying she likes, you know, she's cool with the scar. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me, but
I've seen putting antiseptic on a hatchet wound.
But I, you know, it's just, you know, all vaginas look so different. I didn't realize.
Like scar porn sounds pretty niche, like scar porn.
Sure.
Well, I just thought, you know, because I've done that to guys. Like, I had a guy and he had like lung surgery or something, and I was like, "Oh, your scar is so sexy," you know, to make him feel good about it. So I thought that's just what she was doing.
Well, this is the combination of factors that led you to believing that there was some scar healing going on in this porn. It's unique.
It did the
lung surgery guy set you up for this moment, really. But it's crazy. Yeah. Wait, so you didn't watch porn ever until a couple years ago?
Yeah, no, not until a year and a half ago. Now I've seen like woman have sex with horse that would like came in an email, you know, like from one of the guys, like as a joke, stuff like that. But not actual porn, not like Pornhub. That was my first Pornhub.
The way you said that, like, no, I mean, obviously I've seen like women have sex with horse, you know, I've seen those, but just two people having sex you hadn't seen, but sure.
What's that horse doing to her scar? The horse is hurting that woman's scar.
You know what I mean, though?
I do, but it's amazing. I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, it would be like if I was watching like gay porn for the first time and I was just like, I mean, when are they going to start fucking? Enough playing with each other's snakes. Where are the penises?
It was whatever way the shot was and her vagina. I've even since I've Googled vaginas, I haven't seen a vagina like that. It was a very specific, like,
very
not a vagina, you know?
It was closing up. It was sealing.
It was teeny, like a little.
Tiny. Like, right.
No little flaps, no clitoris, no pee holes.
They're all beautifully different little snowflake vaginas, isn't that it? They're all different.
All different.
There's about like five dick archetypes, I feel. There's like And when you see the other person's dick for the first time, you're like, okay, you have one of those ones.
You're a 3A. Like you have,
yeah, you're like that. It's like, oh, yes, Appendix B, whatever.
Let me just get the chart out. Yeah, you are. You're right there.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's this thing I saw on a dating app one time, right? There's this thing, just when you say the chart, and I forget what it was called, something like My Dirty Bio or something, I think it was called. And it was basically you go through this survey with all pictures of different dicks and different parts of the dick and balls. And you click A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or which type of bell end you have, which balls you have, if you have foreskin, how much foreskin, how thick it is at the, like, really detailed. So that somebody answers all these questions. And the idea is that then they can put it in their dating profile and you can click on it and you can go, oh, you can build up this mental cartoon of what their body looks like, which it just, I'd like, dating apps are not great things for society, really, maybe, but that just seems to be taking all the mystique and excitement out of everything. If you can build a graph in your brain of what the other person looks like.
Very interesting. Very interesting to know that going into, I mean, I don't know that. Yeah. Like I could see that being advantageous, but then also you're like, well, where's the mystery?
Yeah.
Like when you rent
point?
A car, like part of the fun of renting it, you like go to your spot. You're like, what does this thing look like? Hey, this is my car for 3 days. You know, well, when I was a kid, because I spent a lot of time in England because my mother lives in England and like my whole family's English. And so the foreskin thing, I'll never forget one time my friends and I were all pissing in this bucket. We were probably like 10 and we're all peeing in this bucket. And I looked around at their dicks and I was just like, wait, because I'd like seen my cousin's dick, but like all of them were uncircumcised. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they were like making fun of my dick. And I was like, no. We make fun of your dick where I come from. Like, your dick is weird. And they're like, no, mate, it's okay. We're not going to make fun of you. And I was like, yeah, but you have the weird dicks. My dick's normal. You know, like the circumcision factor is so different in the two countries. It's very crazy how America went all in.
They did, because I only learned recently that it's all babies you circumcise. I just thought it was Jewish babies. I literally just found that out the other day. Because I think I was like...
No, it's totally what they do. Yeah,
yeah, because...
I am actually really freaked out because I somehow knew that we were going to talk about this. I don't know why. I had it in my head. I was like, I bet you we'll talk about foreskins.
This is great because we actually haven't talked about circumcision on the podcast before. So I told you we always go off topic. I really shouldn't send the emails.
And exclusive.
Yeah.
Both sides. I can understand both sides of why in America they think it's weird and over in Europe they think the other ones are weird. I think a foreskin is nice because it makes the whole thing less threatening. It's like, I'm kind of ridiculous. It's like, I look silly. How could I be any harm? Look at the state of me. I'm a weird
little old me.
Yeah, it's weird.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, I can't be that much trouble, right? But, and then I look at the circumcised ones and I'm like, oh my God, it's like, it's right here I am, right there looking at you straight away, in the eye contact.
Isn't that kind of culturally like how we are as Americans too? Like, there's a resemblance that would be like fitting for our personalities too. Is like our penises, like our personalities, are sort of like, what's up? We're doing this or we're not doing this? You exactly. know, versus like a but versus like in the UK or Europe where it's a little bit more like, oh, I'll find my way.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
Reserved,
yeah.
A bit more.
Yeah,
like in America, people go around and ask each other on dates in person when they just meet, like weird things
sober.
Like that are just so sober
on the train. On the train,
they give notes to waiters. They ask each other, "Can I get your number? We go for a dinner sometime." I even like
they don't
that's
even
insane.
Ask you to, they just put it down like it's already presumed it's okay. I'm like,
that's so funny.
Yeah, we're more shy. We're more shy and reserved. So that's, you're right about the penis, because it's like more shy and relaxed and cute. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. When I first saw uncircumcised penis, because I was like, you know what, with the foreskin and you do that trick with your tongue. So dumb. But it's more sensitive when, and I remember being like, will my trick with my tongue not work? I don't know how to work this penis.
Wait, you mean an uncircumcised penis, you have
it's
a
more sensitive
trick,
underneath the foreskin.
Right, yeah.
That's what I just thought. It was just like a paranoid moment where I was like, maybe this dick won't be as sensitive. I'll just be licking the top with my tongue and they'll be like, what are you doing? Is there different moves I should do? Even though that's all silly, all things.
I don't feel that on the tip.
Yeah, I think men are just happy to have some action at all. I think with whatever they get, that's fine.
Is it true though? Is that true that it's more sensitive without the with the foreskin?
Well, obviously, only a very small percentage of men know. You know, those who are circumcised later in life.
I know, yeah. Right? Jeez.
Yeah, the only ones. But I would imagine.
Actually,
so.
I had my dick sucked when I was a baby and before the surgery, and I really loved it. I liked it a lot. It was more sensitive. No, I don't know. Yeah, that would be hard for us to answer.
What is the reasoning? Sorry, just explain it to me. Like, I'm all of the women listening. What is the reasoning to get your dick circumcised if it's not religious? Like, I understand the Jewish reason is it's religious. Why are they? Well, you're not Jewish.
Hygiene.
Hygiene.
No. I think it's based upon. I think there is. I mean, again, like, this is not to say like if your penis is not circumcised, you get. I think if you're not the cleanest person.
Shane and his dirty dick.
If you're not, yeah, I got to be careful. What can I say?
70% of listeners are in Ireland and 60% are men.
I think, I got to be careful. Maybe I should change my angle. But I think it's that it will get infected less. Like there's less, there's less potential for any harm to come into your dick if it's out in the open versus if it's sort of contained under skin. If you're not the cleanest person, there can be more problems with it. But I don't think in this day and age that is even really a big thing anymore.
That's the key part though, that if you're not the cleanest person, because the counter to that would be just wash it like everything
else. Yes, I think as a grown-up, I would be able to perfectly handle an uncircumcised penis as my penis.
Yeah, I've never had any of my guy friends talk about, like, if that was a pandemic, the people would be like, oh, my dick's infected all the time. I've never heard a guy be like, I have an infected dick in Ireland, right?
Well, I'm sure they do sometimes, but they just don't chat about it.
Yeah, you're not hearing
I would say so. People get infections.
Have you had an infected dick, Shane?
No, but I haven't had an STI or any of those, but I did have, what do you call it? Like a fungal thing right on my penis.
Oh, so
I can't believe
that
now. I was like,
so that's
no,
it.
I had this one time because it was, and I went to they have this amazing free gay men's health service. And I went to the lady doctor. Now I went there the first time. This is a good foreskin piece of information that I assume the first time you get your sexual health test, when they want to examine you, that they would say, can you pull your foreskin back? They just do it for you. They just do it with this action.
That's
they just
nice.
Like, and they just do it. And anyway, it was a lady doctor and she was very heavy handed. And she was like, that's nothing. She's like, are you sweating more? And I said, yeah, I've actually been going to the gym. I haven't been gone for months. And she said, that's all that is. And she's like, it's fine. And she threw me out of there. I was terrified. I was like, I have full AIDS. Like I was fully decided that's what's happening. But then no, she was like, no, you're fine. But she was very rough with it, I would say, actually.
Oh, but stop. That's Irish. What?
Yeah. Well, that would probably, you'd be like, this is why women don't handle my penis. This is the aggression, the attitude in general. Yeah.
I'm not even gay. I just don't want that.
Yeah. That's Irish nurses and doctors in general. Anyway, I feel like they're more like your grand and like kind of heavy handed than Americans for sure. Like even the COVID test, they were like fucking took a piece of my brain and I didn't feel like it was like at this point I was like, she's enjoying this, you know. Which I don't feel. I feel America is more like, anyway, there'll probably be people who message me and being like, fuck you, I'm a doctor. Sorry.
Well, hey, doctors, fuck you. How about that?
Fuck you, doctors.
Yeah.
I'm you now.
So that's interesting. I don't have a foreskin.
No, you have a scar.
I have a little penis, a little clitoris.
You have an indoor dick.
An indoor dick, yeah.
A baby indoor dick.
That's what it is. It's a little penis.
Yeah. I agree. I never, women don't like you to say that, but I agree.
I think that's
your little penis?
It's the original. It's like when you were being made. It's like, it's the thing that turns into a penis. Am I just fucking waffling here? Is that not true?
I don't know.
Is that true?
I know
that of the men have nipples just in case they turn into a female in the womb or whatever. But I didn't know that about the other thing.
Yeah, because it's similar. It's like the same thing as all like the nerve endings, similar little build up. And then the back of it is all, it's like 10 centimeters inside. So there's only like a little pea size of it on the outside.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's where they think the G-spot is now. There just wasn't any
medical research on women because they were like, meh. But now that they're doing it, they're like, oh, so like the clitoris is huge in the inside of your vagina, and that's probably where the G-spot actually is, like the G-spot, but you're just hitting the back of the clit. Yeah.
And it's just there to be nice. That's all. It doesn't have any purpose. It's just like, this is nice.
It's the only
one treat. As a woman, you can have one treat in the whole world, and it's the clitoris. But they do it. My friend had her, she like had her babies at home and with a doula instead of a midwife and all that kind of 21st century or old fashioned, whatever way you want to look at it. And for instead of pain relief, she just had her husband like go at it. That's, that's what she did. Yeah, the whole time.
What a great, what an amazing call.
I'm sorry, yeah. And that's the thing? So she orgasms while she's giving birth?
I don't know if she necessarily orgasms in the same way, but I think it's like, it's helpful for the stress her body's under that this is also happening.
Doesn't hurt.
Sure, yeah.
That's amazing. I want to write that down somewhere. So if I ever have kids in 10 years and my eggs aren't dead, I'm going to do that. I'm going to write this down when I'm editing in that. That's amazing.
That is pretty great. That is for a husband too. You're like, finally, I'm useful in this situation. There's something I can provide. Normally, I'm just standing here, like, do you need me? Do you need me? But now you're like, shut up, honey. There you go. There.
Give him a job. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. No. Yeah. No, you're right. The clitoris is the only organ in the human body that's designed only for pleasure. So.
It's pretty good. Yeah, that's the equalizer.
I've been reading up on my helpline. What? Yeah. That's the equalizer. That's why we're paid less.
Yeah, that's why 75 cents on the dollar. But you have the pleasure system. The purely it's a trade-off, okay? Just accept.
Yeah, but most women can't work it. It's like a fucking mystery box, and then you do, it's like woohoo. But I mean, yeah.
So what a disadvantage for a man if a woman's had access to it for her life and still isn't sure how to game it. And then a guy comes in and just has these, you know, momentary sessions to try to figure out the rule book. It's not fair.
No, it's really hard. And it's frustrating for both partners. Because, well, I think the problem is that women aren't told to masturbate. And I've said this before on the podcast, but they're not told about it. Like the way you guys are. It's much more normal. Like you're like 13, like get it out of your system. And so by the time, a lot of women have sex with multiple partners and they're not even masturbating or touching themselves. So they're expecting the guy to figure it out. Like it's the guy's job to know how to make me come, you know. And this isn't all women, but I feel like, especially younger women, you know, who aren't told to like learn their body or whatever.
I think that's very true. They definitely, like, there is, I mean, I remember when I was in school, every one of my friends would admit they masturbate. If you asked a girl, they'd be like, what, no, never. And it was always like, it's just not true, and it's fine.
But some of them aren't as well. Some of them aren't lying. They're just, you know,
they're just never gonna do that. It just seems too weird. It's like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And it's like, it, like, I think it even changes your personality when you start doing it. Like you just become so much more relaxed and chilled. So I wish there should be, wait, Garrett, was there sex ed for you in school?
There was, yeah. But it was like, I don't think it was in the way that, you know, not in the way where they taught you that it was, that, you know, it was okay to masturbate or anything like that. They like taught you about, like, you know, how your body functions, and they definitely talked about sex and safe sex, but I certainly don't think, like, when I, the first time I jerked off, that I had any clue. Like, I don't think I was, it was pure instinct, you know, just like how a bird one day was like, what are these things on my shoulders do, you know? Like one day I was just like, what is going on? And then the first time that you like jerk off and actually feel something from it, I'll never forget it. I was like, oh wow, that's a thing. But I don't think I was ever guided. Maybe I did it before sex ed, but I don't think I was ever like guided along the path of like, just keep pulling and something will happen, you know. I was like, I just, like, on pure will and gumption was like, keep pushing, kid.
And did
there's something at the end here. I have a hunch.
That's exactly the, I had exactly the same. I didn't, like, that was, people had said you're a wank and wanker hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And you know that, you know when someone does like a, you're a wanker gesture where they do like a wank in the air?
Yeah.
I was like, I knew that was, I was like, okay, so I pieced all this together. And then I was like, wait, what? Like, and I tried that and I was like, nothing. And then one day I was like, I barely knew what the erection was. That there's two states. It was like, it's either, it's just penis. And then one day I was like, maybe I'll try that. When it's like hard, I'll try it that way. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Same. Yeah. No, really. Yeah. It was just really one day. It was almost like, remember I used to ask your parents if Santa was real a few times before they admitted it? Like it, there were like a few times where I was like, I'm pretty sure I know what this is. But then I'd be like, no, there's nothing. And then, yeah, there was the one time where I was like, maybe if I just keep going while it's hard. Aha! There is more. I knew it.
Yeah. And you've never looked back.
No, that was a day I wish I'd never discovered.
That's so great. It is easier for guys. Like, could you imagine being like a 14-year-old girl and like, but people just say fingering. You don't even know about the clitoris a lot of time. And then if you do, you don't know what to do with it. And then if you do rub it and it feels like kind of weird for a second, you're like, fuck this. I'm going home. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Like no, it's yeah. If you're not taught like specifically what is going on there, then yeah, it's yeah. I mean,
I wonder,
takes time. I mean,
what would be so wrong with that? So we don't have Shane. Did you have sex education?
Yeah, we had the last year of primary school. We had a lady called Carmel came in and told us all about it.
Was it like positive or like?
She told us basically what everything is and what everything does, and then highlights would be that she described an erection as when the boy is feeling a bit sexy, which I thought was great. And it was the first time I'd ever connected the word sexy with sex in my head. I was like, oh yeah, those are connected. And then she told us then, but they separated us. The girls went to the computer room because that was, in those days there was a whole room for computers. Nowadays they all have their own iPads. They were Gateway 2000s that we got from raising money with the supermarket thing, you know, that they give you vouchers in the supermarket, you collect them. Anyway, that's what they were. But the girls went down there and we learned about periods, and then they swapped around and they told them about wet dreams. And then from then on, for the next 2 years, all we could think about was wet dreams. There were wet dream was a thought in my head for about at least 18 months, a daily occurrence in my head. I was like, wet dream, when is the wet dream? Did I have the wet dream? Has he had his wet dream? I was obsessed.
I don't remember any of that. Like I've only, and I've spoke about it on the podcast before, so I won't again, but it was only like a one class and it wasn't very informative.
I have to get new earphones. Oh my God, this is a disaster.
It's okay. Me and Garrett will keep talking.
Right back.
Okay. Wait, what were you saying?
Well, so we had like a day of sex ed and it was like very bad. She was like very, I'm pretty sure I've said on the podcast before, but she said, if you have anal sex, your organs will fall out of your arse. And that is the only... Jesus. I know, right? So it's very, that was the only thing I remember. And I remember even like years later asking my stepmom, I was like, did that really happen? Or did I like, was that a nightmare? And she was like, no, you came home and you asked us if that was like real. And I was like, no. So whatever we got was very bad. And it wasn't separated boys or girls. It was all in the same class. But I should really call one of my old schoolmates and see like, do they remember what else was said? But I don't remember. I never even heard about the clitoris until I was way older. But I think like, I don't see the harm in, you know, I post a lot of these sex ed videos on TikTok just because like I was getting paid to do it. And it was a bit mental. Like I've no fucking, I can't, what am I talking about sex ed for? But like, you know, whatever. I was like, they wanted me to do educational videos. And since I did a podcast, I was like, oh, I'll just do sex ed. But the amount of people who wrote on TikTok being like, there's kids on this app. Like this is so inappropriate. And it's like, why shouldn't a 13-14-year-old know about sex stuff? Or like, why shouldn't a 13-year-old girl know about her clitoris? Like, what's so bad? Well, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Why did it just make everything healthier? Like, look at Norway. They teach their kids about sex ed when they're like six.
I think like a misplaced thought that if, you know, and I mean, it's honestly, it makes so much sense in this country because it's like knowledge is power. And the less that people know about things, the more you think you can get away with. I think the thinking is that if you don't teach people how to have sex properly or what their bodies are like, they will not engage in that behavior. And I think it all comes from sex or sexuality being framed as something that is negative or, you know, even bad. When in reality, it's just, it is what it is. It's like, it's completely normal and should be embraced. And really what you should be teaching people is, you know, how to do it safely. I mean, if you look in, you know, you look in some countries where, like, if gay sex is considered to be a sin, and they don't teach that, that's like the worst way to handle a situation, is to say that you don't want to know anything about it. Don't teach anything about it to anyone, because then it won't happen. That's just been disproven over and over. Like, people are going to do what they want to do, so you may as well arm them with education going into it. This country suffers from that in every way. They feel like if they don't teach you about this country, then you'll never know how fucked up it is. If they don't teach you about what your body is, then you'll never fuck with it. And I mean, a lot of it here at least comes from religious fear, where, you know, they think that because in these archaic documents, they say that, you know, sex is whatever and you should not be doing whatever it is. They just think that that holds up, and it just doesn't. I mean, people are going to fuck. People are going to figure it out. It's just, would you rather them go in knowing what they're going to do and do it safely, or would you rather them figure it out and be a little more at risk? And it's like, obviously you want your kids to be safe. You should educate. If people go to a sex ed class, I don't think they walk out going like, man, I'm ready to fuck. I think they walk out going like, whoa, that is crazy. That's, my body is nuts, you know? And yeah, like, to what we were talking about how you jerk off, it's like, you figure it out because you're an animal. But, yeah, you know, why not educate people? It leads to the same thing. So it better to just lead people with knowledge versus ignorance, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is the thing as well. It's like the only comparison I can think of, this might be a dumb analogy, but let's say the French will let their 14, 15 year olds have a glass of wine at the dinner table. Drinking's not a big deal then. So if you just educate people, like, this is the clitoris, this is your dick, these are STDs, these are whatever, use a condom because blah, blah, blah. It's not like they're going to go out and be like, well, I want to fuck now. That was so sexy. Actually, that's making it more like real, more like having a, what the way they're doing it now is more like forbidden fruit. And like you said, just unsafe forbidden fruit.
Drinking is a good comparison, because I think when you, like, that's how it is in this country. Like, 21 is a completely lunatic legal drinking age. So when people get to 21, they go fucking crazy. This country, like, the binge drinking, the drunk driving, that's all comes from the fact that it's not normalized when, you know, it should be. Like, yeah, you should. I mean, if you're 14, you have a glass of wine. Like, that should not be framed as, like, you're bad. It's cultural.
Yeah.
So then when you're older, you go, oh, I like a glass of wine. I don't need to have a bottle of wine or two bottles of wine. I can have a glass. Whereas America, they're just like, fuck it.
And you've built up a tolerance. You've built up a tolerance. It's not like this wild, crazy thing then that's like, I guess I'm going to say the forbidden fruit reference again. But also as well, when I came over here and I was, what, 23, I think, and I couldn't get over, like, because the attitude is that Irish people are alcoholics and we're messy. And yeah, we do binge drink on the weekends and stuff, like, so we're not the best. But I'm sorry, the Americans, I couldn't get over that there was like 22-year-olds face down in the bathroom, like passed out. Like, that stuff we would have done when we were 15 or 16. So I was like embarrassed. I was like, this is mental.
I always get that impression when I watch like American media and they're like drinking and they're like, you know, like recently we just got White Claw came into Ireland for the first time. Oh, it just got introduced. And everybody bought it and was like, just to have it because we see it on TV and like, Claw is law. We see all that stuff. So we just, people tried it and it was like, oh, it's a perfectly lovely fruit juice. Like,
yeah, it'd be
good if you put gin in it. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone's just like, this is nothing. And then you watch these like frat bros and it's like giant football player men like knocking back the juice. And I'm like, how many of those would you take to get in anyway before you'd even 80. Think about being drunk? Like, so many. Yeah. So I think like that you watch the Americans and I consume American culture or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but you don't drink like we do. Like I always felt that's like, it's not the same, but like maybe it's yeah.
But even the way they do, like, so again, if you have a shot at home in Ireland, it's 25 milliliters or smaller. It's like a teeny little baby thing. And here it's like 2 ounces and they're like shots, shots, shots. So like after an hour, you've had a fucking bottle of whiskey and you're like, die. I the amount of blackouts I had when I first moved over here, because I was just like, the sessioning was mental. Like, it's not, I feel like at home, even though we session, it's different. We're not like that crazy. I just think there's a bad stereotype of us, because it's not as crazy as here.
No, here they're out of control. I mean, I'll never forget when I, like, my friends and I, when we first got our driver's licenses, we would drink too, and you would just drink and drive. I mean, you just did it. Like, I'll never forget going to England, and even someone who drinks shitloads, if it was their night to be the DD, they would have one pint over the course of the night. They would hang in there, and they would drive you. And I was always like, that's so crazy that there's that response. Like, there just was never that sense of responsibility in the States. And I think, again, because they don't really introduce you to it. It's just like, when you're 21, you can drink as much as you want, and you've been waiting your whole fucking life, and then you're just going to drink all the alcohol in the bar. And that's what leads to people in this country. Yeah, like getting, I mean, I remember I had to cut out shots because I was like, what, this is crazy. They will pour you shots that are like tumblers, and that's one shot. And you're like, that is a healthy glass of whiskey.
Yeah, it's three times the amount Irish shot. I remember when my dad came over, and the bartender knew my cousin. So he was just like, oh, I'll hook you up, Seamus. Bartenders here are like drug pushers, and you're not even paying for it. They're just like, I guess because they want your tip, but it's like, I'd still tip. It's too much. Stop it. I hate going to bars where I know the bartenders, because I'm like, I just want to have a drink and relax. I don't want to like fucking be plastered after an hour.
That story about your dad sounds like an American writer wrote that about an Irish person. And it was like, I'll hook you up, Seamus. And oh, I know his cousin. Like, that sounds like totally made up.
They just came in on a ship.
Is he really called Seamus?
Yeah, he's called Seamus. When I first came out, I had to stop drinking as much because I blacked out so much. It was just, yeah. And then it's like beer shot combos. Like, fuck off. Just why? We don't need this. This is too much. And or you go, can I have a whiskey and whiskey and ginger ale or whatever? There's no ginger ale. It's all whiskey. And they're like, I hooked you up. I don't want to be hooked up. I want my ginger ale and my whiskey.
It is for tips, though. Like you said, that is not to come back to foreskins, but they do it for tips. It is because in this country, the business doesn't pay you for working there. The customers do, which is just the system it is. But they do think that, yeah, hooking you up, getting you looser is going to result in more money. But it also costs the bar money, because then these people are pouring tumblers of whiskey as shots. So like most things in America, it's just a lot of weird rule bending to make capitalism seem like it works.
Yeah, it's a lot of room.
But is alcohol cheaper? You'd know, Katie, between the two places, alcohol's cheaper in America?
No, like to buy a drink?
Not New York.
Fuck no, it's so expensive. I love when I go home to Ireland.
Oh, really? I thought it'd be cheaper.
Oh, it's so
expensive. I mean, New York is exorbitant, though. New York is probably the most expensive, like, bar prices in the country, I would guess.
And just, I know, when you said not to bring it back to foreskin, it didn't remind me of a question I had about foreskin, so I am going to bring it back. Shane, have you seen a penis without a foreskin in Ireland? Because I never saw a penis without a foreskin in Ireland.
Yes, I can confirm I have.
They are out there.
I have two friends who had to get circumcised. Like, I just think this is the worst. This is the worst of all the different versions of, like, when they were like 14. Because something wasn't growing or whatever, so which means their willy was growing, but the foreskin wasn't growing. It means you have to be 14 and you have to, I suppose, go to your dad and say, like, my penis is sore. I mean, that's just terrible. That's like, what a nightmare. And I dread to think what happens next for them. Does their dad look at it? I mean, nightmare scenario. But yeah, I have two friends who had that happen.
How long does it take to heal from that?
I don't know.
Gotta be a while.
It seems very fleshy.
Sensitive part of your body, cutting it off. I mean, that has to be a couple months of, like, abnormality, I would guess.
Can you even apply a bandage to it? To an appendage that moves and changes size by itself?
Tell you from experience of when one time I caught my penis so hard in my zipper that I had to put a Band-Aid on it, that you can put a Band-Aid around your penis, but it is it's almost like having a Band-Aid on your finger where you're like, it's not, I'm going to need 2 to 3 throughout the day to handle the general wear and tear of this appendage.
Ouch for you, by the way. Jesus Christ, that's like that movie.
It was very much like There's Something About Mary. And I couldn't undo it. It was so painful that I was like, I can't try to unzip it. It was like full on. It was crazy. And I was waddling to get a butt. My plan, and I mean, again, your penis isn't a vice, so you're not thinking clearly. You're just like an animal. But my plan was to get a bottle of olive oil and pour it down the fly to kind of lubricate it and ruin my pants. And as I was waddling over, it just ripped out of the zipper and just, you know, fucking hurt. It's a very sensitive area. Very sensitive. A lot of nerve endings.
Well, just back to, because I did want to talk about like the difference between the different dating cultures. Like, one thing I noticed when I moved over here, and Shane, have you ever dated anybody in America? Have you been to America?
No, I've never even been there. No.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome someday when COVID's over in 10 years. But
great.
The first couple of dates I had with guys, like, they would stand on one side of the street, and eventually I found out it was because American guys want to walk on the side of the road where the car is. So if a car hits you, it hits the American guy first, and that's like a sign of being a gentleman. Like, that's mental to me. I've never, no Irish guy, it wouldn't even occur. I mean, like, they'll open the door for you. Is that some, Garrett?
I would do that if I was walking with a child, but I didn't know that, like, people did it for some kind of dating ritual. No, I didn't know.
Have you heard of that, Garrett? Do you do that?
I've heard of it, and I've found it sounds just so stupid that I would never even think about it, but I have heard it. It's just, but it's like, in what situation? I mean, look, if the car's coming on the sidewalk, there's a good chance you're standing about 2 inches apart. You're probably both going to get hit by the car. And what the guy thinks he's going, I mean, wouldn't it be easier if it was like a car's coming on the sidewalk for me to push you away that way? Wouldn't that make more sense because the car's coming up this way? It's just one of those dumb American things where it's like, I'm a gentleman. It's like, no, you're not.
I'm so strong and manly. I can protect you from this car.
A lot of cars will come up. The cars will go over there. A lot of cars are come on the sidewalk here, so I'll just bodyguard it. I'll shield you from the 2 tons of steel coming our way. You'll live, and I'll die, and you'll remember me.
And did you find when you were in England, did you go on dates? Because I did find, like, over here, like, the dating culture very different. Like, here it's like, you're dating, you're exclusive, your boyfriend, or it's a date. It's, like, known from the start. Sometimes it can feel like an interview, whereas I think, I know in Ireland, it's just more like, we're going for drinks, we're having a crack, you know?
I guess I have gone on, not a lot of dates, but I have gone on dates in England. But yeah, they're very, that's how I am in the States though. Like, yeah. I remember the last time that I went on a dinner date, and it was well over a decade ago. And I was like, this is so fucking dumb. You know, like, having a meal with someone you don't know sucks. Having a drink with someone you don't know is easy. And then after a couple of times going out for drinks, then you can go have dinner. But I agree. I think there's so much put on. Like, I will ask, in my time at least, have no problem asking out a girl anywhere, you know, just for her number at least. But the idea of, like, making the courtship, like, we're going on a date, we'll go to a, like, that you need to have two activities that are act, it just has never seemed proper to me. As far as getting to know somebody, I don't think there's any better way than to go have a drink. And you sit down, you're going to talk, there's not going to be a lot of, like, looking at menu, silence. You can just have a drink, and it's very easy to walk away from it if it's not right. Low stakes. Like, if you go on a dinner date and it's not good within the first 15 minutes, you're like, this is a 2-hour affair that I just got to strap in for, and mentally, you know, go to the bathroom 5 times to just go like, fuck, and then mentally count it down.
I like that thing about having a strategy for walking away. I went on a date with a guy once, and at a certain point he said, if this wasn't going well, I would have, like, had maybe one drink or 2 pints maybe. And then at the end of the second pint, what he does, if he doesn't like the guy, is that he would say, like, so what are you doing for the rest of your night? Are you heading out with friends? And I just think that's, like, because you would believe it. You'd be like, oh, even if you did, were really into them, you'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to impress them. It's like, yeah, I'm meeting up with a few. We're going to head up to such and such a club or whatever. You totally would do it.
Yeah.
I like to go, well, I am in a relationship now, but when I was on the scene, I like to do a early evening coffee, because then you can be just like, after work time, then you can, if the coffee goes well, then you say, like, do you want to get a drink? or whatever. And it gives you that option. And then, I mean, no one's ever said no to me, so I don't know what would happen. But like, yeah, I think it's useful. And then sometimes you get a real strike of gold and you get really confident. And the waiter might say, are you guys okay for another coffee? And then you can say, no, I think we're going to go for a drink, actually. You can say that and be real smooth.
That's a good move. Yeah, that is a good move. I would always, I always would do a drink later. I would do like a 8:30 drink. Because then it's like, any thought of dinner is out of the way, you know, and it's very low stakes. And then if it is going well, then it's like later in the night. Like it just kind of all is more, it just suits the aesthetic of, you know, if you want to hook up, it's later, you've had a couple drinks, that's better. If you don't, it's later, you can easily go home. You've got something to do tomorrow, you know, yeah. But the, yeah, in America, I mean, I have friends who will, if they like a girl, I'll just be like, you, this ends badly just based on how important it seems to you. It's just not the right energy to go into like meeting someone. Like, this is so important, our big date. It's like, to me, that's just crazy.
There's too much pressure.
Yes, for both people.
Yeah.
So it's an easy, like, I think the more you can limit, at least American men, is to not being kind of like too much and creepy, the better. So getting dinner out of the way, I think, just helps that in general, you know, not be as much, put so much on it.
Oh, I have two questions to ask. So, Shane, I'm going to ask you first, but I want to come back to this. How would you meet people in Ireland? Would you do a lot of apps when you were asking guys out? Or would you ask, you wouldn't ask guys out to their face, no?
No, never. And I've never been asked out, or no one's ever asked for my number. And I don't know anybody in the whole world of Ireland that's ever happened to. But yeah, apps. I think the apps have brought a more of a dating culture to Ireland that wasn't here, whatever, 15 years ago. Like your comrade Des Bishop, I think, used to have a routine about that in his stand-up, where he'd say, like, he used to ask girls out, and then in Ireland they were like, what the fuck, like, don't talk to me, and thought he was creeping. He's like, everyone just used to go for drinks, and me and my friends go for drinks with you and your friends. It was very good. I'm not doing it justice. It's very funny, but a seminal piece. But yeah, I think it's brought like the idea of like going on a date. Like, I don't know if that's because I've grown up as well. I've gone through my 20s or whatever, and people are going, maybe a date is something you say more as you get older. But I feel like the apps have brought it. That's where I met my boyfriend. Yeah. We lived in the exact same housing estate.
Wow. Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. If you didn't have the app, you might not have never, like, if you were not willing to just go up to him in the grocery store, you might never actually ended up together.
Exactly, yeah. I told him I was very good. We actually talked on Tinder first, and then I went out and was drunk, and I messaged him when I got home at 5 a.m. saying, are we going to talk again, or are you finished? And I think he was like, okay, weirdo. So he didn't write back. And then on Grindr, then I messaged him, and I was like, I've been on and off this app all day, and my husband hasn't moved in yet. Like, what's the story? And he said, men are pigs. I thought that was a very good comeback. So yeah, that's how we started.
That's great.
That's great.
I wish I had screen grabs. Remember they had that trend on Twitter where I'm saying how it started, how it's going?
Yeah.
Because our banter was very good. Like, it wasn't like coy, it was just good crack.
How long ago is that you started seeing each other?
Two to a bit years ago. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. That's great.
And you lasted through the pandemic. That's great. True lockdown.
It's ongoing. It's too close to call, as they would say on CNN.
Well, you made it the first lockdown, second lockdown.
I'm actually really proud of that joke. Sorry, that was great. I'm really proud of myself for that one.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we made it through the first one. We live in a cottage that is basically like he's just beside that, outside of that wall. It's basically two rooms. We moved house. We got not kicked out. Like, we didn't do anything wrong. The previous landlord just kicked us out because she was an asshole. And then we moved in here, and it was like, that was the Tuesday, and then we were locked down from the Saturday. So it was like instant.
Oh, wow. Immediate.
So we've kind of only known this house in COVID world. So we live in this, it's like, just feels normal. And we work here and we live here. And it just feels like a totally normal prison house.
And did you guys hook up early? Like sex, sorry.
No, whatever way it worked out, we didn't. I forget, there was some reason, like, the first, I would, people talk about like, don't have sex on the first date nonsense. Do whatever you want. If you don't want to, don't do it. But if you want to, do it. But for some reason we couldn't. And then we met up for breakfast then, the next time. And then we met like in the middle of the day another time. So it was actually just like, it didn't work out. Like, you weren't, it was just the way things worked out. But then it made it more fun. Mm. And we had sex for the first time the day that they announced the results of the abortion referendum. That was when we had sex.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. We were, yeah.
I was reading like these articles about the difference between Irish dating and American dating, but it was like that Americans will expect more to hook up on the first night, and if you don't hook up on the first, this is a complete stereotype written by God knows who, but said that if you don't hook up on the first night, the person will think you're not interested and might not think that there's a second date coming. Is that true, Garrett? Because I know in Ireland it's not true at all. You could kind of just whatever happens.
No, I mean, when you say hook up, do you mean have sex?
Sex, yeah. They said that they're more likely.
Yeah, no, I personally, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, you let things go the way they go, but I would rather not have sex the first time you go out with someone. I would rather, like, you know, you can hook up, but like make out and stuff like that. But I think there's something kind of cool about the going out a few times before you do that. I think also, I mean, definitely the older I get, the more it's like, you know, you don't want to necessarily have sex unless it makes sense and seems like it's going to work and that it's not, you know, like, I think there's something about making sure you want to have sex with the person that probably behooves the whole situation in the long run anyway. But no, I mean, if you're basing someone's interest level on whether or not they'll fuck you right away, like, you're probably just going to feel pretty down about yourself because that's a high expectation to have that every time you go out. So I bet you younger dudes feel like that. Yeah. I certainly don't. Like, if I think you can gauge interest so many other ways. You can gauge interest by the time you had, communication after the fact. If you set up going out another time, how long it takes to go out another time. There's 30 different indicators that you can gauge interest through. You know, forcing someone to feel like that you'll not feel good about chemistry if they don't fuck you is, I mean, lofty. A very American, I would say again.
Yeah.
I would advise, if I was advising a younger person in like the early 20s or whatever, if the other person has some kind of rule or expectations around like, I never have sex on the first date, I always have sex on the first date, whatever, or the expectation that then they're actually a bit of a loser and I just would skip it. I would just not see them again. That's what I would advise. It's like, it's immature. They'll grow out of it. They'll learn about sex in a different way or they're older. But if you have too many hard and fast rules and like clauses there, then I think just leave it. Like, just relax. Everyone chill out. Like, I just feel like that.
Yeah, and I haven't experienced that. And the person who wrote this, maybe she's an Irish girl and her experience in New York. So maybe she just came across like shitty bro lads or something. But
you should feel no pressure to fuck someone if you don't want to fuck them. I mean, the idea that that is going to be a way of maintaining someone's interest, I think that's a very skewed rule.
I'm the same with you. I like to build it up and let it be something to look forward to and get excited. Yeah. I like waiting a few weeks. I'm a nightmare.
Which really isn't that long. I mean, yeah, it's like it makes you desire it. Like that, I think, is important to want it versus, you know, have it. It's just those, I think we're so impulsive now, we expect everything immediately. But like earnings, it's not even earning it. I don't mean to make it like that, but it feels like you've gotten to a point where it's makes sense, which just is better. It's better sex.
Yeah, and you're more comfortable.
There's benefits to all sides, though, as well. I mean, if people sometimes start seeing each other because they just hook up after a night out, or they're in a club or a party, and they share a cab, and then one thing, and they have sex straight away, and that's a different thing altogether. And that can also be super fun and exciting, straight out the gate. But it's also exciting and fun and sexy to wait the few. It's not that long. A few weeks is not that long.
You get to know someone a lot. Like, there's, you know, you share that level of intimacy, like, you know someone so much better after you fuck. When you start fucking, like, there is your communication, the whole relationship just kind of changes just based upon sharing that with each other. So it should feel like a gear shift, I think. But yeah, I think you're right, too. I've dated girls who I've met that night and taken home, and then, you know, yeah, I then you're like, this is a good situation. Let's keep going.
Yeah. And you still learn things as you go along. One thing I like as well is I don't like doing everything on the first. Like, I like when you're dating someone, doing stuff as you go along. Like how do I explain it? Like, sometimes I find here it's like they're like choking you on the first night, and you're like, keep that for like a couple of months, you know? Yeah. Like, to kind of figure out each other's body and do different moves as you go along. Like, I don't want everything on
immediate choking says a lot about where we are.
I have had so many immediate chokes without them asking if that's even the thing that I'm into, and like, frightening, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's where porn, I think, porn has skewed the way I think dudes think sex is supposed to go, you know, to the point where
they're destroyed. They've been destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, young boys just start calling the girls horrible names. They're just like, the 1 minute they're like texting and it's cute and it's sweet, and then they're having sex and it's like, you fucking slut, like, out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, why are you saying that? It's so confusing of what's good or not, like, that's not hot. Like,
that is the, like, sexual education that guys get now is through porn, you know? So it's like, you can see the difference in results. Yeah, choking right away. It's like, you know, this used to be an act of murder a few years ago, not a turn on for someone.
Yeah, I have a joke about how the first time some guy choked me, I thought he was trying to kill me. But it was like really, really, it gave me such a fright, because we had our clothes on and he was kissing me and he just pushed me up. And I was like, oh no, this is it. This is the thing my father's been warning me about women getting murdered by men. I was so scary. But yeah, it's never been like a touch on the chest, like a build up. It's been like a grab, which is like, oh yeah. Or porn is so true too, because I remember one time someone showing me like, a girl like basically vomiting on a dick, giving a blowjob, and I was like, oh my god, am I giving blowjobs wrong? Like, is this what they want? Do they want me to vomit on dicks? And it was terrifying. So I can't imagine like young 15-16 year old girls being like, oh, I meant to like puke on a penis. Okay, great.
Just gotta be bulimic on the balls.
Oh my god, I have to write that down, because that's what I'm gonna call this episode. Garrett Reynolds, bulimic on the balls,
my new album.
This is great. Wait, I'm just gonna make sure you guys are great. I don't want to take up much more of your time. I think we hit everything that people asked anyway. Someone's just brought up about Irish slagging, like, is it like negging? That was the only other question. Do you think that, Shane, the way we kind of flirt is like bordering on negging?
Well, this is awkward for me, because I've never known what negging is. I'm glad this has come up. Is negging?
I feel like you should answer, Garrett, because it's a word that I only learned.
It's a sort of a subtle, playful put down that is supposed to make it's a subtle way of making someone maybe not feel great about a thing. And I think the theory is that you having that attitude makes you seem like you're not interested, or it cuts to something that is, maybe I'm over explaining this, Katie, but it cuts to something that someone is insecure about, and that sort of does something as far as interest. So, you know, if like you were to say to someone like, oh, that's cool, I love chins that are really kind of weird like yours, you know, you do it in that subtle way where someone's like, why is my chin weird? And that is supposed to fuck with wiring and make someone be like, I think it's, you know, joking around, but
they're supposed to like you because they're mocking you a little.
No. And they like, there's something about that that's attractive.
I know, I hate it.
They have all sorts in America. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. Rich discourse. Well,
why would you not want to come here, Shane?
I don't know. I think that sounds like kind of a straight people thing. That sounds like some, like, Irish people, I can see, I recognize it as like people do a lot of slagging and messing and jeering and banter, as they say now, which I don't like because it's imported from England, that word, and I'm like, we have enough problems import from the English. I just feel like leave them have banter by themselves. But like, yeah, I don't know, it sounds kind of, I personally don't like that. I'm like, fuck you. Like, if someone's doing that kind of game with me, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not interested in playing that game. And also, if I really wanted, I could win. I would kind of feel competitive then. I'd feel like a comic about it and be like, okay, you want to do a roast? Let's do a roast. Like, I feel like I'd get like that. But yeah, I think it's a straight person thing. I don't think gays are the same that way.
It is. It's like, I've had lots of guys do that to me. Like, you're wearing your hair up. Yeah, it looks good, but your forehead's very high. You know, like, and it's like, I don't know, is that a good example? But is that just mean? I think that's just mean. I don't even think that's flirty. I'm trying to think.
No, yeah, it would be like, oh, you know, I normally don't like when someone's hair's up because it looks kind of fun, but it doesn't look too bad on you. Like, it's just stuff that makes you, it's just ways of showing like disinterest, which I don't think like the truth is, if you're disinterested in someone, that if it's the right situation will be a good tactic, because you're like, oh yeah, I'm too interested in this person. They know it. If I pull my energy away, they will want to rebalance that. But yeah, I think negging is such a, I mean, it's just, it's that when all these things came out about like certain ways that guys could talk to girls, it was like, do a magic trick, neg them. Peacock, like wear something that's flat, like all these things. And they are all tactics really for people who have no ability to actually communicate in any way. And so it kind of, for a generation, like gave guys an insight into how to talk. I think if you're capable of talking to who you're attracted to, or just being normal or being yourself, that is so much more of the battle than playing little subtle games. I definitely think there's something to, when you're talking to someone, how do you, you know, not be too much? How do you be the right amount? Holding back maybe things you feel and expressing them certain ways like that. There's certainly like chess, I think, that goes with that. But that's really just kind of like trying to take things gradually is the note there. It's not a matter of, you know, you just don't want to blurt out, I love, I mean, the amount of guys I knew in college who would tell a girl they fucking loved them the first time they hung out and be like, why is she being weird? It's like, well, I don't know. It's too much. So I think as a guy, you want to like parse that out a little bit, but all that stuff is just kind of like stupid ways to make people who don't know how to communicate to the people they're attracted to communicate with them. You know,
yeah, it sounds kind of like a devolution of flirting. It sounds kind of like you've just taken, it's just not as good as flirting. And it's like being mean.
Yeah, it was like a scientist watched flirting and was just like, here are the three keys to flirting. It's like, well, when you break them down to keys, it doesn't feel like flirting anymore.
Yeah, and I've noticed, I've had guys like, well, I'll give you one example. There was this guy who was texting me, and then he came to the bar that I was at. Now, he was a, like, we were all comedians, he was a comedian, and he came to the bar, and instead of coming up and talking to me and flirting with me, even though he'd been like in my DMs, he was very loud with the people that he was with on that table, like shouting nearly his conversation. And like when I would look over, he'd be looking at me to see if I was looking. So in my head I was like, oh, he's like peacocking. And then at the end of the night, at the 4 a.m. when he got the guts to actually just come up and talk to me, then he was like talking to me fine. But I was like, it felt weird. Like it felt like he was doing a performance for my attention, if that makes sense. Being like, I'm the funny guy at the table. And I hate that. I hate when guys do that. You're like, ugh.
That's tough. That's tough for someone who's considering himself to be the funny guy at the table for a while to hear, but I understand.
It's fine. Be the funny guy at the table, but you don't need the whole restaurant to hear.
Totally. No, and especially when it's just the idea that you can't go and talk to someone you like is really, I mean, you know, that's, I think, I've been there, guys get there, but it eventually just becomes very easy to just, let's say you're like seventh grade, you're like, I won't talk to her because I'm in love with her. But it's like, eventually you just got to go, you just approach someone and you don't need to necessarily do anything other than just be there and be interesting.
It is funny because the flirting, Irish people do that. We like slag each other. And there is a difference between, like, I think the slagging and the negging, but it's like a very thin line. But the guy that I'm seeing now, he would slag me a lot. And I always thought, oh, I was like, oh, that's fun. And I'm going to use the word banter. But I was like, he's good, like good banter. But then I sometimes it's like mean. And I said it to him, I was like, what are you, you're just being mean. And he was like, oh, that's just how we flirt here. You know, like kindergarten, it means like I like you. And I'm like, then just compliment me. And he said something like joking, insulting he said like I had sideburns or something. And he said he meant it in like a cute way. And I'm like, nobody hears that and thinks that's cute as a woman. And then I was like, you can't insult me playfully, my looks, unless you're also complimenting them. And I think there's more that kind of like roasty, I'm like, sometimes it's just mean. Like, well, don't just tell
and
me.
And it should have been easy for him because your sideburns are very nice. You know,
thank you, look at these.
That's true. Is that what he means, just your hair?
Yeah, it's just my hair. But it was in front of my friends. It was the first time meeting my Irish friends, and he pointed it out. So I was like, but he said he meant it like
the girls wouldn't like that. The girls wouldn't be into that.
Not good.
He was too big for his boots, Katie.
That's what I thought. You should have seen the look I gave him. I just went like, all right, we'll talk about this later. That's the look of, we're talking about this later.
Bottom line of all this is, do you remember when you were a child and you watched television shows and the moral of the story at the end was always be yourself, right? That's really good advice that we should all just follow all the time. That is actually all that is required. It's all anybody, if you can't flirt, don't be a bully. Just like be like nice. That's also hot. And if the person thinks you're a bit wimpy, then you won't go out together because maybe you are.
But there's also some people are very, I've dated two lads over here that were very, have told me they're very uncomfortable giving compliments, that it felt, actually the last two guys, the guy I'm dating now and the last guy I was dating, both said, because I give a lot of compliments and both of them, when I give compliments, they looked uncomfortable. And I'm like, well, I'm saying something nice. I don't understand. And so eventually both had said that it's just not in their culture and it's like, they feel like embarrassed and then they feel like forced to give a compliment back, but it doesn't sound right. And this is too.
You have great sideburns.
Hold on. Is this the Irish boys who say they can't do compliments?
They're both American, but they're both Asian. But they're American Asian.
Yeah, but as Irish people, they say that of Irish people that we can't do compliments, but I'm not sure. There's a certain element that I don't think is that true. Like, yeah. I don't think I'm not sure I entirely agree with that idea that like we never give compliments. Like you just think of anybody older than you and you do something for them and how brilliant they say you are. And, you know, like if you do something for your auntie, she's like, oh, that was brilliant. Katie sorted that out for me and she was brilliant. And she looked beautiful. She came in spotless. She was gorgeous. Like that's part of the culture all the time. I know that's lots of like maternal things, whatever, but we do it all the time. I didn't think we're better at it than.
I think we give it. I think the stereotype is more, and you would see this with Irish people, that we pretend we don't like to take it. We're like, oh no, stop. Oh, I'm not beautiful. What are you talking about? You know, there's more
to
be modest. But I think we secretly do like the compliments and we love giving it. You're right. We're very much like, I love that. If I see someone in a nice shirt, I'm like, oh, that shirt looks great on you. And whereas like, if I said that to an Irish guy, if I was dating and that shirt looks great, I'd be like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. Thanks. Whereas the last two guys I've dated, they've been like, it's fine. Like it's like they look uncomfortable getting it.
It's
so
just
I don't know
a shirt.
It's trash. It's trash. Ah,
they start choking you. Oh, do you like this? You like it? I love you.
Will you plug yourself? And I'll do an intro at the start and an exit thing. But plug yourself down.
Well, I would plug myself, but I heard that all my intestines will fall out if I do that. I read that in Irish sexuality book.
Shane, you didn't hear that part, but yeah, it's basically my bad sex ed.
Katie's. Sex ed, they said if she had anal sex, all of her guts would drop out. Which is fine and is totally true. It's been proven over and over.
It's natural. It's natural.
Yeah, you can find me at Reynolds Gareth on social media. I do shows from my apartment every Thursday night. And you can go to youtube.com/GarethReynoldsTV to watch those at 6 p.m. Pacific time Thursday evenings. And listen to the Dollop podcast.
Yeah. And what about you, Shane? Plug yourself there because you've been blowing up now. Julie J actually messaged me saying you should get Shane on the podcast.
Yeah, I went entry level viral last week and now I have all the new people who follow me think I'm more important than I am. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Shane Dan Byrne. Shane Daniel Byrne is my name, but Shane Dan Byrne is my brand. So you can follow me on the Instagrams and the Twitters. And there's a Facebook, but you know what? I'm not updating it. What's the point? I'm not getting involved.
Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you so much. You guys are the best.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. That was fun.
Thanks so much for listening. You guys are the best. There's about 15 to 20 extra minutes of that on Patreon just because we were chatting about the elections and stuff. So that full episode is on Patreon. And the video is on Patreon as well, and there's also extra episodes on Patreon as well, just solo episodes and some videos and stuff. So yeah, please sign up if you don't mind. It's the Patreon.com/theshiftpodcast, and DM me with any like questions, topics, advice you want from future guests. So yeah, the next episode coming out will be about cheating, so had an interview with a comedian about that. So yeah, looking forward to you guys listening to that, and just have a lovely week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.